This is Jaguars Reporters.
Jaguars Reporters. Reporters.
Presented by Burger King. Join Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher and peer of the realm we call Game Day, Cole Pepper, as they break down the last Jaguars game and look ahead to the next time the Jaguars take the field.
Why would I listen to anybody else?
Jaguars Reporters is brought to you by Burger King, American Express, Baptist Health, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Reporters begins right now.
And we welcome you in, Jaguars Reporters, here on a Tuesday evening. Cole Pepper, John Osher, live from Jaguars Central, following the Jaguars' loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, and we'll have a chance to look back at that game, look forward to Sunday's home game against the Bears, and going to be an interesting game, and we'll talk about that matchup coming up here in just a bit, but let's start with a high note. Nice halftime ceremony for Fred Taylor on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it was everything you expected it to be, and really the whole week was everything you expected it to be. I mean, anytime you have Fred involved, I think the fans see Fred, and he's a what-you-see-is-what-you-get guy. You look at a guy and think, boy, what an approachable, likable, respectable guy, great player. And as you know, Cole, that's exactly what he is. Yep. So anytime you get a chance to honor a guy like that.
And oh, by the way, he was a pretty darn good football player.
Yeah, I mean, and yes, but there's a lot of pretty darn good football players. Perhaps not as good as he is, but I've rarely covered a guy that I enjoyed being around more than Fred.
And so congratulations to Fred. I still am looking for some of the information. I think Fred and the Weavers both got that gold helmet. I don't think Baselli ever got a gold helmet for going into the Pride of the Jaguars. I think it was kind of a new thing. Baselli may be coming back asking for more any time now.
Well, that just wouldn't be like Tony, would it, to come back and ask for more?
Anyhow, as we move on here, let's get things started as we do each and every week right here on Jaguars Reporters.
And now, three burning questions.
By the way, Dan Edwards had that helmet in his office after the game.
Yeah.
Man, that is cool.
It's a good-looking thing, yeah.
Yes. All right, first question. What's the best the Jaguars can hope for from this season?
Well, I mean, it's the bottom line is they're 1-3, and they could easily be 2-2, or they could easily be 0-4. So what this team needs to do is to not have the mistakes they had the other day, to make plays. I said all offseason, this team is going to have to play well. There are probably some teams that it realistically can't beat if the other team's playing well. It's got to play well, not make silly mistakes, and take advantage of opportunities. And they didn't the other day. So, I mean, I still think this team can push to get above 8-8. 8-8, maybe a little above. But it's going to take some pretty dramatic improvement.
All right, and because the question was phrased this way, what's the best the Jaguars can hope for this season? I won't take the
13-3.
I won't take the easy way and go 13-3.
Sure.
But putting some filter of realism on this thing, if they beat the Bears on Sunday, then have a bye week, have a chance to get Darryl Smith back and healthy, get guys rested and ready to go. Obviously, there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things that they need to fix, and we'll talk about some of those. But they've got a couple little stretches in here in the schedule that
sure
maybe don't look all that daunting. First of all, the Raiders are having some trouble. Right? It's a West Coast trip. We know how that can go. But it's not an unwinnable game. At the Packers is going to be awfully tough. Detroit here. Detroit's struggling a little bit. Right? They're not sure why, but they're not playing like they did last year, like I think we expect them this year. Then you have the Colts. Texans on the road, awfully tough. Titans at the Bills. Jets at home at the Dolphins. That four-game stretch starting the Sunday of Thanksgiving week. Titans at the Bills, home Jets at the Dolphins. Yeah, you can make some hay there,
and
if you're playing well.
I can hear what everybody's saying right now. No way, no way, no way, because that's the mood of the week. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the issue right now is the Jaguars so far have not looked like a team that can score enough to run off four games like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's what's got to get fixed. If they could fix a couple of things on offense and lead you to believe that they could start putting some points together, which can happen, then you can start talking about the things we're talking about. But absolutely, if they get those things fixed, there are pockets of the schedule where it could work.
Yeah.
But it's got to get fixed from inside first.
So, again, I mean, you're saying 8-8. You know, I don't
think... That's the optimistic's view right now.
Yeah, again,
it's tough to sell.
We can play optimist, pessimist, realist here, and where a realist should be is probably going to depend on your own personal state of mind, but... Yeah, the optimist says,
I got some bad realists in the ozone this week, Cole.
Yeah, I saw some of them. We had some of them on postgame. The optimist, I think, can say without going too crazy optimistic, yeah, 8 wins and still in it in December, I think is still within reach.
Because they've shown, and for all of the, anytime you lose 27-10, it's very hard to see anything good the following week. And anything you say is going to be just perceived as ridiculous by a lot of people. But they have shown so far this season one thing. They can play with teams that can't get away from you, so to speak. And I think of the Bengals with an A.J. Green, Houston. Some teams can get away from you. The Packers can get away from you. The
right.
Patriots can get away from you mm-hmm. in a
Ravens,
hurry.
Yeah.
So far they've gone on the road and played toe-to-toe with the teams that people thought they ought to play toe-to-toe with. Mm-hmm. People are rightfully disappointed that it looks like they can't compete with the elite teams. You don't want to see that a month into the season, and I get that that's something you don't want to see. I don't know if that's not true over the long haul, but that's what it's shown now.
Yep.
But they have shown that on the teams that you're talking about in that four-game stretch, mm-hmm. they can compete, and they've done it on the road.
And by the way,
so that gives you some hope.
And Minnesota is better than we
sure.
thought when the season began, so you have to work that into the equation, considering they've beaten – both Detroit and San Francisco.
Right, the question was what's the best,
yep.
and our answer was about what's the best.
Question two, can the Jaguars solve their pass protection issues this year?
I think they're going to have to stopgap it. I don't think they're going to be able to solve it long term. Here's one of the issues. Pass protection, usually you're talking about tackles, right? Left tackle, you're fine there. Eugene Monroe's playing at a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
Right tackle, Bradfield has been okay when he's mm-hmm. been out there and healthy. Yeah, and you think, well, okay, your tackles are all right. What's the issue? But it's
and it also stands to reason. I didn't mean to interrupt, Cole. The it stands to reason Bradfield's going to get better because he's got talent. He's structurally sound, so to speak, and he's played what? This is his fourth or fifth game.
Mm-hmm.
So you would expect an upward arrow there for Bradfield.
Although,
go ahead.
Again, I don't expect big, you know, improvements. It's usually a slow, steady improvement with offensive linemen. It's not usually big leaps like you find with some other positions. So that's one thing that we would say. But again, Bradfield has played. Mm-hmm. He's been acceptable and maybe a little bit better than that. Obviously, the big issue right now is the interior line, and most particularly, you're talking left guard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's creating problems for the center as well, Brad Meester, who knows he's got to be out there thinking for two in some regards and maybe blocking for two. So that's where the problem has come. And so the question is, do the Jaguars have a true left guard who they can put in there and really go with right now who's available?
Well, I think they could still go one of any three options. I mean, you go Mike Brewster, who I guess played a little better than Eben the other day. You give Eben another chance against a guy who's maybe not as quick as a Geno Atkins, right. And you possibly try Herb Taylor there. None of those sound like very good options after what we saw on Sunday. But I will say this about pass blocking. I think that's easier to fix than to fix a running game that's not working. Because a lot of times, pass blocking, a lot of the times the problem can be communication and it can be technique. And you can work on those things. If you can't run block, sometimes you just can't run block.
Yeah.
But pass blocking, I think, is a little easier to fix, and it's a little easier to expect some improvement if you get some continuity over time. I mean, I don't think this team's going to start setting records for fewest sacks allowed, but I think it can get better from Sunday and give you a chance to compete.
Well, it has to get better from Sunday because Blaine Gabbert won't make it through the season, not you know, with six sacks and the kind of pressure he had coming right in his face.
Right, I've always said, Cole, I'm a low bar guy. I try to come into a job and set a low bar so I can exceed it.
Right.
Certainly based on last week, you can expect the pass protection to get better.
All right, last question going the other way. How can the Jaguars get better at rushing the quarterback?
Well, it's tougher. I mean, I kind of believe, like I said, that you can you can improve pass blocking with technique, communication. I think getting to the quarterback, one thing that I still believe will help, if you can get the run defense a little better and get in more obvious passing situations and make the team opposite you go into 5 or 7 step drops instead of them being able to pass when they want to, that always helps a pass rush. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to sugarcoat it and say that that's going to mean that they're getting 60 sacks the rest of the season. But I think that could help you get a little better. And right now, really, fans are looking for, hey, give me some glimmer of hope this is going to get better. That's where it could conceivably get better. And as they said all week, sometimes it's about going and winning one-on-one battles. They haven't been doing that much this year. Go win those one-on-one battles and it gets better. Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and get it done.
And what part of this, too, I think, is coverage. You've got to coordinate coverage with pressure. And even if they're going to have to blitz a little bit and get some pressure out there, I would like to see them do, you know, again, Derek Cox is their best cover guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let him, and they've started to use a little more man-to-man in a number of situations. Let him do that. It actually benefits Rasheen on the other side to be in one-on-one because he's a better one-on-one guy than he is a zone guy. And if there's pressure, he doesn't have to be a one-on-one cover guy quite as long. So they may have to get creative with some pressure. But one of the things that hurts is that Darryl Smith's their best blitzing linebacker.
Yeah.
And so he's out, so that hurts. I agree with you. I think, and this is what I know, I had some feedback about how frustrating it has been from some Jaguars fans that there's been pass rush issues for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried a lot of things to try to solve it. You know, Derek Harvey and Quentin Groves and Brent Hawkins as the designated pass rusher and Jorge Cordova and a lot of
Aaron Kampman
high low,
is supposed to be the pass rusher on this team.
Well, and that's right. And I mean, the injuries just became too much there. And if you had Kampman even at the tail end of his career, you would feel better about the pass rush. Branch has shown some signs. He actually had the pressure on the Bosworth interception. He's shown some signs, but it is an area that's lacking right now. And I would assume that that's an area that's going to be highly looked at in the offseason once we get to that point.
Well, they need Andre Branch to get better, but I will say one thing about Andre Branch. Oftentimes, and there are exceptions to every rule, pass rusher is often a thing that rookies don't get until the second half of that rookie season. Jason Pierre-Paul, who everybody loves to throw up as a guy the Jaguars should have, he got his first sack in his 11th game of his rookie year.
Yeah, so it can take
a while.
And
he's really good.
Might be the best young pass rusher in the game right now. All right, those are three burning questions. Coming up, we'll hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, what you may not know coming off of Sunday's game. Also still to come, Mike Mularkey said it. His thoughts about what he's seen on tape. Plus, we'll take your calls, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Also, you can put your comments in on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. As well, you can tweet to John and or myself at John Osher and at Cole Pepper if you're on Twitter. Back with more Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More to come after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here. Time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health. Depend on us for life. Bad news on the injury front, LaRon Robinson's third concussion sustained on Sunday. Had one early in training camp, then one last week, and then again this week. Again, there are some old school guys who aren't as sensitive to the concussions as I am, but I know the risk that can happen, and I've seen guys who've had the concussions, the impact you can have after your career. You have to be careful about that.
Yeah, and there's really no choice but to be careful about it. They, there is a letter of the law that you follow. Last week, Laurent was cleared early, was held out a little later, but he was cleared to play. And if you're not cleared to play, you don't play. And it's, again, a lot of people, oh, we should get on the field, do this, do that, but it'll be followed by the letter of the law. And it's really, it's just a situation, once you get involved with it, there's not much you can do about it except wait.
All right. And the other guy who probably won't see back this week, has not been ruled out yet, is Darryl Smith. Might potentially get him back down the road.
And that's another one I'm a little worn out on. I get, not often, because most people know what Darryl Smith's about. There's the occasion I'll get this email from a fan, oh, shouldn't he be on the field? How bad could the groin injury be? I haven't been around for Darryl's whole career. I have looked back on his career. His record speaks for itself in terms of availability. I know he's a tough guy. He would be. I mean, Darryl Smith would be on the field if he could be on the field. A groin injury can be a very serious injury, so that's something I'm not buying into.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It happens too often, and I'm not sure where it comes from with fans who think that guys who are injured and aren't playing are jaking it.
These guys, I've known very, very few players who don't want to be on the field.
Yeah.
It's just it's counter to their nature.
All right, let's hear from General Manager Gene Smith what you don't know from Sunday's game.
Well, there were a couple good stats coming out of the game defensively. 2.7 yards a rush, and then on third down, Cincinnati had 18% efficiency, and those are things we can clearly build on.
Right, talk about defensive numbers, a couple of defensive numbers there. Of course, if you have A.J. Green to throw to, you might not run it all that much anyway, and he looked pretty good once again on Sunday. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Get some calls in here. We'll go to John in Keystone, who's up here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. John, how you doing?
Okay, I'm going to throw something at you guys.
All right.
I think that going into the preseason, you know, and before the games and the preseason games, the team had this real lift, and it seems that lift has come down. And I'm wondering if there's a reason why, and what I've noticed before. And there was even on this team and other teams is something that causes the team to get down, and it's a disgruntled player. Do we have a disgruntled player on our team that could be maybe causing this? And I don't even know if you guys would even want to tell me that.
Well, I'll tell you if I thought it was happening. I think this we had some calls that were kind of along this line a bit after the game. I think fans like to just use things like, are they playing with passion or energy, or were they ready to play? And again, most of the time the answer is the other team is better and they beat you. And that's what happened. The Jaguars had some opportunities. They knew going in that they were going to have to play a very good game with very few mistakes in order to beat a Cincinnati team, but they felt like they could. And if you look at how the game played out, if the Bosworth interception leads to a touchdown instead of a fumble, if the fake punt is snuffed out and they don't get that, suddenly you're looking at a different kind of ball game. So it wasn't that many. You know, you're not that far away from what could have been a much different looking ball game. That being said, the Jaguars didn't make those plays.
Right.
And that's really what it boils down to. It's not about, you know, a disgruntled player or somebody having a bad attitude.
Well, a couple of things on that. You know, first of all, I assume John was referring to Maurice.
Yep.
And if he wasn't, most fans think he was. Maurice Jones-Drew, you know, is – I don't pretend to know Maurice that well, but I do know he is not a problem in the locker room. And I do know that when he is here, there's nobody who wants to win as bad. There's not a disgruntled element that's causing things on the field. And if that answer could nip that in the bud, it'd be great, because that's not an issue. So I completely agree with what you just said, Cole. I got a lot of emails this week about attitude, passion. Are they not intense? And I always go
effort,
back and I always go back to something Tony Dungy told me probably right after the Jaguars rushed for 375 on the Colts out here in 06. And that was the big theme up there. This team isn't trying. They're not this. They're not this. And this was a team that won the Super Bowl that year, by the way, so they were trying at some point. And he said, when a team can't stop the run, it looks like it's not trying. Same deal with protecting the passer. If you can't protect the passer, things look very unpassionate. It looks like you're not playing with intensity. When things are going bad, it looks like you're not intense. And that's really all it is. There aren't very many teams that quit or don't play with passion. These guys love to play this game. No matter what the other perception is, I've not seen that very often.
No, and I haven't seen a lack of effort from guys. I haven't.
Right.
That's not.
When things aren't going well.
Sometimes you just get beat.
Right.
You know, and
it's
that's
hard to jump around and be excited. But a lot of times the jumping around, and I get people see Ray Lewis doing his thing where he's pumping his chest. You know, that's a lot of show. That's not always intensity. That's not always passion. These guys play with passion. That's not why they're. It's 1-3.
All right, John. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it from Keystone. Let's see. Let's check some of the social media questions. We'll get one quickly here off of Twitter. Hey, we love Greg Jones, says Ken, but I want no more receptions for him. Eyes downfield. Sort of a good news, bad news situation. Greg has done a better job catching the football. He's been targeted more this year. Part of it, I think, has been time, and that's a safety valve. One thing that does drive me nuts, though, is I hate routes that have fullbacks catching the ball with their momentum heading to the sideline because that doesn't turn into anything. But
there's no question there's been too many checkdowns.
They'd like to get the ball down the field more.
But a lot of it is when your line is giving you 2.5 to 3.5 seconds, and when the receivers aren't getting separation downfield, checkdowns become the thing that happens, especially when there's been an emphasis on not throwing interceptions. Now, I think Blaine, Mike Mularkey, people would be the first to tell you, there are instances where there's more time than that. There are instances where it's possible to go downfield. So it's a cumulative effect. But a lot of the reason the offense is bunched up, check down, thrown to Greg Jones, I would say more of it is the fact that you're not getting protection with the for the passer, and you're not able to go downfield because of the separation downfield. That's a combination that causes a lot of checkdowns.
All right, we'll take time out, come back, more of your calls, tweets, Facebook posts as well. 800-355-NFL1 if you want to jump aboard here. We'll also hear from head coach Mike Mularkey and from the general manager Gene Smith yet again, as Gene will name his Scout's Eye unsung player coming up. At Sonny's, you get a heaping helping of baby back ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $12.99. All you can eat, just $4 more. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We're back with more Jaguars reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Jaguars reporters, presented by Burger King. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cole Pepper, John Osher here, Joe Fortunato at the controls as always. Let's hear from head coach Mike Mularkey. This is these are comments from last night's Mike Mularkey show. And talking about being objective about what he saw on tape coming off of Sunday's game.
It hasn't been just this game. It's been four games. We've had numerous opportunities to make some plays, not just defensively, but all three phases. And I think it's a different storyline if we make some of those plays. And we'll never know because we didn't. Machines being a pass broken up, and now we have an interception fumble. But you can just see the body language, even if some of our guys right around that time depressed that we fail to come through again. And it does suck the wind out of you a little bit. But, just they're in the right spots. I told them this morning, when those things start happening our way, they're gonna come in bunches. And just keep doing your job. Be where you're supposed to be. The ball will come to you. And when it does, we got to make those plays.
And, over the course of a year, John, typically every NFL team, more or less, has the breaks even out. Better teams overcome the bad breaks more often than teams that are struggling. But there have been a lot of breaks that have gone against the Jaguars. So, hey, if math is going to work out, then hey, we might be seeing some breaks coming up here pretty soon, because they've had some bad breaks that are going against them.
I think Mike would be the first to tell you, when you make plays like you had a chance to make the other day, which good teams do, good players make more of those plays than they don't, the breaks tend to go your way. And I was kind of laughing. I just got a tweet from somebody. With the way the Jaguars are playing right now, is there a winnable game on the schedule? Well, they just won 2 weeks ago. So, clearly there are winnable games in the NFL. There are winnable games on the schedule.
And, by the way, they'll play that team again. So.
Right. I mean, and they'll play other teams again. I happen to think Sunday's a winnable game. The Bears are playing on the road on Monday night, coming back on the road.
Yep.
It's very tough to come back from. It's reasonable to expect a lull in their play. Probably won't have the energy. You would hope they don't get five picks. If you make plays Paul Posluszny made the point the other day, and he's exactly right, even the fans don't want to hear it. The talent level and the level is usually not very different. It's usually about the team that makes the plays. So when you have your hands on the ball with a chance to go into the end zone, this team needs to catch it and hold on to the ball.
All right, I want to read off a list of quarterbacks, and I want you to tell me what they have in common. Matthew Stafford, Tony Romo, Andrew Luck, Jay Cutler, Josh Freeman, and Michael Vick. And the answer, by the way, is not guys who have not been in my kitchen. So don't go Cliff Clavin on me there, although that probably would be.
Yeah, they all have more money than I do. I'm not sure. You got me.
They all have lower quarterback ratings than Blaine Gabbert this year.
Yeah, and, you know, again, fans would play devil's advocate and say, well, he's not throwing the ball downfield, not taking chances. You're going to, you know, the rating system does favor you if you don't throw interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure. And by the way, there's a reason for that.
But, yeah, and I agree. I've been having a lot of conversations about Blaine this week because that's what happens when you're 1-3.
When you lose, the quarterback gets it, yeah.
And, you know, the jury is still out, still young, and until he gets protection, it's just hard to know how good he could be.
Mm-hmm.
Until receivers get separation, it's hard to know. I don't think he's making plays above the X's and O's. It's a cliche I like to use.
Yep.
I think there are quarterbacks,
good Tom Coughlin cliche, yep,
who make those plays above the X's and O's. I don't think he's doing that
mm-hmm.
yet.
Right.
But I also don't think that he's this guy that should be released at the end of the year, bust, terrible, can't win. I just, you know, it's just hard to know yet.
Yeah.
I wish I knew.
So, and it's interesting to look, and I think Sunday's game is a very important and pivotal game in terms of what this season will be about. If they win, again,
sure,
you can say, well, all right, let's see. They've got a chance for some to make some waves.
Winning's great. It's so much better than
you're
winning.
In favor of winning.
Yes.
Puppies and
yes.
Ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going out on a limb.
I would
there.
Be in favor of a win Sunday.
Yes. If they lose, then this season becomes, I think, a different kind of thing from a, you know, how it's covered standpoint. And again, we're on Jaguars reporters here, so we'll talk about how it would be covered. Then it's going to be about what happens over the course of the season and who improves and what areas improve and what are the needs. And unfortunately, Jaguars fans have been through a few of those.
Yeah, and if you lose, you've got a bye week with, you know, 3 days to ask the same questions you've already been asking. It's not pretty on a Monday after a loss. After a bye week, it would basically be 3 Mondays in the locker room asking the same questions. They don't want you in there. You don't want to be in there, that old cliche. So, yeah, I mean, a win would make things so much better over the next 2 weeks. That's what they need.
All right, guys, got something from Facebook. By the way, all of our social media questions brought to you by our good friends at Copy Facts. Is Eben Britton's play suffering from a lingering injury, or is he in danger of losing his job to Mike Brewster because he's not a quality player?
Well, I'd say he's in danger of losing his job to Mike Brewster because there's going to be competition this week. And, you know, last week was very, very bad for Eben, obviously. You get pulled at halftime of a game, and there's no way to spin that that's a good thing. But the one thing I will say is I have not seen Eben play nearly as much as a lot of people around here have. I don't know that he's ever had a game like that.
No.
So I don't know that it's automatically fair to say that it's over. It's a washout. I don't know that you can jump to that conclusion yet either.
And in particular, because he was coming off the injury, you have to wonder how much of a factor that was. And you know, whatever the reason, though, the Jaguars have to this is something that we haven't touched on a lot, but it's sort of what you need to see. Unless you have a young quarterback who has the stature of a Cam Newton, who, by the way, is also having his own issues this
year.
Yes,
he is.
But who, you know, physically imposing like that, young quarterbacks need a little more time in the pocket in order to make those plays. Particularly, you know, you look at the kind of time and space that Andy Dalton had to operate
mm-hmm.
with yesterday, and Dalton's a more experienced second-year quarterback than Gabbert
right.
is based on all the college time he got. Young quarterbacks need a little more. You might be able to get away with some of the pass protection issues the Jaguars have if Ben Roethlisberger or Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. you can't get away with it as well when you have a second-year guy who's learning a first-year in a system.
Yeah, and there were many, many plays the other day where I kept on thinking, I'm just not sure what he should have done differently on this play.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting hit that quickly, when you're running, he got hit 7 times, he had to throw, he got sacked 6 times, and he ran 3 times. That's 16 of your 40 right there that you don't have a chance to succeed right off the bat. So, could he have been better than the other 24? Absolutely. But he could also be helped a lot more. So that's where we're at.
Let's get another call in here before we take time out. Keith in Arlington is up here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Keith, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, here's a history lesson for you. Okay, what do the 2007 Ravens, Falcons, and Dolphins have in common?
2007 Ravens, Falcons, and Dolphins. None of them have been in my kitchen. No, I don't know.
Okay, those teams, all three of those teams, went 5-11 and worse that year, then got a new coach and a new quarterback and went to the playoffs in 2008. Why isn't the Jaguars improving? Why are they not going to the other team's practice squads and trying to get offensive linemen? I mean, why are they able to get better and we are not?
I don't think the practice squad is where you go to.
Right.
Going to a practice squad is you got to go to fill a spot because you've got injury issues, and certainly the Jaguars have had those. The Dolphins, that was a little bit of fool's gold situation, I think, in some regard. And by the way, who was the quarterback of that Dolphins team that went to the playoffs? Was it Chad Henne? I mean, so you went and got that guy.
Sounds right, yeah.
The Ravens obviously have had a terrific run here, and they've done a great job of assembling talent. And who was the other team they mentioned? The Falcons? Falcons also went out. But, again, you've got to have – I think the expectation of an immediate turnaround is going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see is improvement. And the Jaguars have been wildly inconsistent here in the early going, and some of the consistencies have been bad inconsistencies, quite honestly. Pass protection hasn't been good.
Right.
Now we can diagnose why that's been. Pass rush hasn't been very good. We can diagnose why that's been. And so the question is, can you improve some of those things? So I get it. I get the frustration for Jaguars fans. And the thing that my point has been to a number of people, before you start deciding who's going to lose their job,
mm-hmm.
let the season play out. We're a quarter of the way through the season.
And
you've got a new coach and a new offensive system.
And again, it's very hard to answer your question because they have not been in the playoffs in 5 years. And everybody knows that's not acceptable. So that's the answer to that. Mike Mularkey, I kind of keep looking back to his experience in Buffalo when he went 0-4, 1-5 starting out. That team got significantly better. That's what Mike's sort of talking about when he said, look, bad starts can turn into something better. That's what you've got to see. Obviously, it's hard to see that right now when things went as bad as they did Sunday. So you kind of hang your hat on, can this team make a few plays? Can they get things turned around? Can they get the momentum swung in their favor? It's hard to sell that it's going to happen after 27-10 and 27-7 at home, but that's what they need to have happen.
All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, we'll hear Gene Smith, Scouts Eye Unsung Player. We'll also patch a hole in the ozone. That's coming up. We'll take your calls as well, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, or you can tweet to John Osher or to Cole Pepper, and we'll get your tweets in here as well. Back with more Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here. Let's hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, his Scouts Eye unsung player of the game from Sunday.
Derek Cox. Derek had two PBUs. One of them was really a dropped interception on the sideline. And then the other thing is, in run support, he had four tackles. I think the last 2 weeks coming off the injury, he's really done well.
All right, there's the Scouts Eye unsung player. Interesting, the last caller was talking about the teams that in 2007 had bad years and came back and have made a difference. I just want to use the comparison of Atlanta and Miami. Atlanta changed coaches, brought in Mike Smith, and drafted Matt Ryan, right? Obviously, hey, you get those guys, that's a hit.
Yeah.
They had some talent there already. Roddy White was already there. But they've made some changes, some pretty substantial changes through the years there with their team. After that 4-12 season in 2007, 11-5, 9-7, 13-3, 10-6, three times they've won, they've made the playoffs, and they're 4-0 this year. Mm-hmm. Right, that's exactly what you want to see happen.
That's what you want to see.
Right, nailed it. The Dolphins in 2007, 1-15, terrible year. Cam Cameron was the coach. That was after Saban had left them high and dry. That was coming off the Cleo Lemon quarterback year. They went out and got Chad Pennington for that year. They drafted Henny and had Pennington as the starter most of the year, and they went 11-5, made the playoffs. But then 7-9, 7-9, 6-10, now 1-3, and they've changed coaches since. Tony Sperano had his chances. Now Joe Philbin's in there.
They also sort of, and not to discount what they did, but they sort of won. That was the year that they kind of sprung the wildcat on some people. Mm-hmm. And
it worked, but the point is
the Patriots were without Tom Brady. So, I mean, there was a lot going on, but it worked for 1 year, sure.
But that's not what you want.
No.
I mean, you want what Atlanta has done.
Yep.
You want what Baltimore has done. And, Baltimore, by the way, right out of the gate, they weren't convinced that Flacco was the guy. No. I mean, that was a lot of folks were not convinced that Flacco was the guy, and there are some who still are on the fence on him. I think he's really developing well, and I think
I'm not on the fence. I think he's big time.
I think he's very good, but
but certainly in his first couple of years, there was not a consensus this guy was a big time player.
Correct. Yeah. Now, can it happen? Can you have the same thing with a guy like Gabbert? We'll see. You got to have some of the things happen around him as well. And remember, the Ravens have had a top-flight defense for a lot of years.
Right.
I mean, that's been the place for a long, long time. All right. What will you be asking in the locker room this week?
Unfortunately, it'll sound like a lot of the same old questions. I'll be asking, what needs to get done to shore up the pass rush? That's vital. What needs to be done to shore up the pass blocking? Can the receivers get separation? I mean, those are issues that will be discussed all week because those have become the hot-button issues because they're pretty obvious things that aren't going right now.
A slightly less obvious question that I'll be asking, and I don't know what it is. I've always had this sort of fascination with the group dynamic and the leadership and how kind of a group mindset works with a team when things are going well and when they're not going well. I'm going to be asking, about how this locker room responds. And specifically, it's not just about whether they're changing plays or players or what's that sort of thing. And the Jags have talked about they believe that their plan is right and they just need to execute better. But I'm interested to see if this is the week that somebody in that locker room changes what they're saying, how they're saying it. Rasheed Mathis talked about wanting to change the conversation a couple of weeks ago. Well, we're back to that conversation.
Sure.
So will anybody do anything this week or say anything this week to try to change that conversation? This is one of those weeks that if a team was later in the year, the feeling of it would be, is this the time for a players-only meeting?
Players-only meeting,
right?
Baby.
This is but that usually doesn't happen this early with a coaching staff, with a new coaching staff, but it kind of has that kind of feel that maybe this could be a week for that. We'll see how it plays out. Tomorrow night, John will be live with Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Brian Sexton at Latitude 30 for Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Then we'll be back on Sunday, the broadcast of the Jaguars and Bears, a 4:05 kick, 1 o'clock for the Sunny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, as the Jaguars have their second consecutive home game and final game before the bye week. For Joe Fortunato, for John Osher, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King, and good night from Jaguar Central.